you ask God's blessing on this message today?
Yeah, so, Father, we gather in your church house, and we intend on hearing the word of God and the message from God for this day, and what the Spirit says to the churches. And Lord, help us keep our mind fixed and focused on what's being said, and look for how it applies to our life and our heart and our ways. And Lord, we want to make corrections. Correct us, oh God, please correct us and make us right. And Lord, help us to hear, give us ears to hear. Oh, Lord, fill the preacher with your Holy Spirit. Oh, my God, please help us today. We need your help desperately. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What does the Bible say about abortion? Does the Bible have any specific thing to say? Does God reveal to us information, his thoughts, that would be applicable to the subject of abortion? I'm using material this morning that comes from the Pregnancy Care Center, its main office, Bradford. They have a Wellsville chapter as well. And I received this picture several years ago. As you may be able to see, it's large enough that it's of a precious, precious baby. Every one is precious. And they have a what I might think of as an unusually lovely looking baby, okay? I don't know what else to say on the picture, but on the back they had information for us pastors. What is a pregnancy care center? Goes by the name Bright Alternatives. Because when a girl is facing an unexpected, an unwanted pregnancy, it's not a bright time. It's a dark time.
Yes, sir.
And they need to know that there are alternatives. And these alternatives are not dark. They're bright. Yes. Pregnancy Care Center is a place where pro-life volunteers and staff combine various resources to offer pregnant women alternatives to abortion, but they offer much more, okay? They offer much practical help for the girls. Now, a pregnancy care center is valuable to a church like ours because the average Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that is pro-life and is anti-abortion and that wants to help such women, they just generally on their own are not able to do so. They do not have the knowledge of how to counsel them. They don't have generally people within the church that have the skills to counsel and help. And when I say counsel, we're talking about much more than a half hour sit down, give your opinion to the girl.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about counseling them and walking them through this dark time. The average church can't do that. Now, there are churches that may be an exception to that because of the makeup of the people in the congregation, and they may indeed have an outreach ministry of this sort, but I'm telling you, if you use the figure of 99 out of 100, you'd have to go to something like 99.34 out of 100. Okay, in other words, you figure it out, math out. Pregnancy care center is the place where the church is able to meet and serve the needs of these girls. It's through the pregnancy care center. You see, God gave us the mandate, didn't he? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can't do that. If God has not led us and worked with us to go into the world, in the month of May, we're going to have whatever the board over here says, the date. I think it's the 15th that the we're going to have a missionary to the gypsies. Works in Germany. As a matter of fact, it's the son-in-law of Pete Heise. Okay, and I know you've been, some of you have been praying for Pete. And he's going to be here. Why? Because he's going to do what we can't do. He's going to do what God has not called us to do. And that's true with every one of them missionaries over there that we either support financially or support with prayer and gifts from time to time. And that's what a pregnancy care center is. That's what Bright Alternatives is. It's doing what God has not led and prompted us to do. We're pleased that Jen Balow is involved through the Wellsville facility in helping and ministering to such people, to girls in need. And of course, the Pregnancy Care Center, they need the church because it provides and it needs the churches for finances, yes. And nothing runs without money. But prayer support, people involvement, so that people in congregations like ours, and I can use Jen as our example. She has an interest for this sort of thing. And so that provides an outlet where she can use and fulfill that burden that God would have. And that's true for so many churches. And people that serve at a pregnancy care center may do. Many times they'll serve in very practical ways. Not everybody that sits in a pew here teaches a Sunday school class or gets up and preaches. Some of them come in, though, on a Friday or Saturday and run the vacuum cleaner and clean the church. Some of them come in and they paint the window frames. You see, there's different things that people can do. And the Pregnancy Care Center has need of people to serve. And there's different things that they can do. Now, the real question, why is the pro-life message essential? I've asked three people to read a portion of scripture when I call their name. Human beings are created in the image of God, okay? Now you say, well, yeah, we know that. Yeah, well, hang on. There's more than simply knowing that fact.
That's right.
Okay, human beings are created in the image of God. Tanya, if you'll read Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
And you know, this scripture she read talks about man created in the image of God. But we know that Adam and Eve, by their wrong choice, opened a door and sin came into the world and sin came into all people born after them. But even after the fall, God reaffirmed to Noah that mankind still bears his image. And that each life is precious to him. Dale, if you'll read Genesis chapter 9, 5 and 6.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man.
You see, we're made in the image of God, before the fall, when everything was perfect in the way God wanted it. But then man fell in sin. But even in his sinful condition, God not approving that sin, nevertheless tells us that man is still made in the image of God. And indeed, the New Testament reaffirms this matter. These are verses out of the Old Testament, out of the first book of the Bible, Genesis. But even in the New Testament, God reaffirms to us that we're made in the image of himself, and he gives a prohibition against cursing fellow human beings. And I've asked Jen if she'll read from the book of James, chapter 3.
Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
Man is made in the similitude of God, the image of God. All through the scripture, we are taught that truth. Our Savior didn't die on the cross to redeem dolphins, pigs, or apes. He died for people, for you and for me. He died for image bearers. And that truth makes the pro-life ethic central to God's plan. He creates life. He endows humans with his image. And he has sacrificed his only son for the sake of that image. And so throughout scripture, God exhorts his people to protect one another, especially those who cannot protect themselves. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, I want to read verse 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Let me break it down a little bit. If thou forbear to deliver them that are near to death, if you refrain from protecting someone that is about to die innocently, that ought not to die, and if you refrain yourself from helping, God knows it. Verse 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, but we didn't know this was wrong. Well, you know, we heard one of the problems we have as Christians in this nation, there has been such an abortion promotion and push. And I'm so thankful for the organizations and groups that are leading in a pro-life emphasis that are having an influence in many states and the federal government. But I'm afraid what happens is Christians, we get worn down. We hear it over and over and over again. And of course, what they're going to do is they'll put somebody on the television that's had an abortion, and they say so many good things about it. Let me tell you, for every girl that's had an abortion that would have a good thing to say as the outcome of it, you can rack up 20.
Yes, sir.
That are today struggling in living because of having had an abortion. There's no excuse. No excuse. God ponders the heart. He knows the heart. And it is significant, it's important that we keep our place and thoughts right on this subject. But not only that we have the right thoughts about it, but that we take something and put it into action about it. Now look, God isn't going to have every one of us to call the Bright Alternatives Pregnancy Care Center and say, how can I get involved? But if he puts it on two people's hearts, then the first thing to do is talk to Jen, but then to call the organization. And what they might need is somebody to come in and clean their facilities. They might need somebody to come in and put together the cribs that they give to people. They might need somebody to come in and box up the packages that they give to the girls to help them with diapers and initial clothing and baby bottles and all kinds of stuff that you ladies know about, okay? They might, and so that's what they might have you do. As a matter of fact, you can call them and say, look, I believe God's put it on my heart to do something to help, but I can't counsel people. I can't talk with people. Is there something there I could do? Now, maybe right at the time you call, they won't have any. They have volunteers that are doing it. When you say, well, then put my name on a list. And give me a call when one of them can't, and I'll substitute. Listen, there's ways to do it. When God burdens your heart to do it, do it. You know, God hasn't burdened my heart, then don't do it.
That's right.
Stay out of the way.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But I'm talking about when God will burden someone's heart to be involved. You know, we cannot as Christians just sit back and say, well, I'm against abortion. I'm praying about it. Now, praying about it's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
But not if you're going to put prayer in place of doing something.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You need to pray and do.
Yes.
Okay? And so, and you know, we're accountable to and for each other. I believe that's true in the church. We're accountable for each other. And that begins indeed with praying for each other. But then working with each other, helping each other, and doing what we can. Many a Wednesday night that we come in here, Tanya's sitting over there in those two chairs at the steps, and she's got boxes on either side of her. And when you come in, she'll say, hey, we got lettuce here, and we got rhubarb here, and we got... cucumbers here. You know, I took some cucumbers last time, took them out of the bag to put something else in first and never put the cucumbers back in. And so, anyway, you know, she brings things in. That helps us.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
That's right.
There are many of you that take something from it.
Sure.
Sharon Vatt is sitting back there. She came in today and she, I don't know, had 5-6 dozen of eggs. Often they'll bring eggs in. Those brown eggs are signed down in Olean, $2 a dozen. Now I don't know she sells eggs, what she sells hers for, but you know she sells them. But she'll set them eggs up there.
That's right.
And you can take a dozen along. And that's a blessing, isn't it?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Man, that's like her coming up and giving you
$2. That's right.
Can you imagine if Sharon came up to you and said, here, I'd like to give you $2. Oh, that's all right, Sharon. No, I really want you to have $2. Well, after a while, you know, you'd give in and take her $2. But she'll give us eggs.
That's right.
She and John. Now, John's homesick right now. Bad sick. But I don't hope he touched them eggs. Anyway. I'm just kidding. But there's eggs, okay? And if you've seen them eggs out there and wondered about them, they're there from the Vadises to help us. Take a dozen along. You say, well, is there one there for me? But first come, first served. Okay? I'll often get my dozen and put it out in the car. Okay? And so you see eggs there? Take a dozen. What is this? This is helping each other. We're responsible to and for each other. And that involves many things, many ways that can happen in the church. Now listen, the enemy, Satan, he delights in lashing out at any image bearer. You see, Satan could not destroy God. God won that battle on the cross. And the devil is not able to do anything against God. He tried, he lost, and all he can do is attack the image bearers.
Yes.
That means people.
Yep.
Now we know he wants to attack us Christians to defeat us so that our testimony is marred. Talked about that in the adult Sunday school this morning. And so we know he does that, but Satan will attack any image bearer. What's an image bearer? It's a person. And so he will attack the weakest and most vulnerable first. Now, who is that? That's the infant in the womb. Oh, mercy. What judgment will God bring on the state of New York and others who have passed laws that allow when the child is born for them to... This is disgusting. I'm only repeating what was said by one of the politicians. They'll make the child comfortable until the mother and father can decide what to do. You don't decide to let that child that's been born die.
That's right.
There's a movie out regarding, she was a young director of a Planned Parenthood facility, and she worked in the office, but they had one of their workers that ran the ultrasound that couldn't come to work that day, so they asked her if she would do it. One of my daughters saw the movie and said that she left that abortion facility, Planned Parenthood, because when she went in and ran the ultrasound, as they went in to the womb with the suction so powerful it would tear and does tear a child apart, she could see how that baby in the womb struggled within the confines of the womb to get away from that suction and the reaction it had as its body parts were torn from it. My friends, this is barbaric.
Yes. God help us.
You see, such barbary didn't only exist in native tribes in the jungle settings of Africa and South America. The barbaric actions of Hitler and Nazi Germany, the things that were experimented on there, have spread. How could that be? It can be because of Satan and his influence to attack the image bearers. So starts with the babies. Then it goes to the elderly. In euthanasia, the elderly who can no longer do, they're just there. It would be merciful if we put them out of their misery. It's not merciful. Who else is attacked? You see, a pro-life message, the primary emphasis of saying pro-life is that of being against abortion, but it is not limited to that. It goes to the elderly and the euthanasia of those who just do not have much of a life. We may as well put them out of their misery. But then there's the mentally handicapped. You see, Hitler particularly, through his regime, did many horrible experiments using the mentally handicapped, and then others they just merely put into the gas chambers with the Jews. physically impaired. Again, Hitler's regime was the one that was perhaps best known, but it's not limited to that. It's taken place in Asian countries. It's taken place in other countries around the world where the physically impaired, they cannot be productive to society. We need people that can be productive to economy. My friends, the pro-life message protects all who bear the image. And you would be wise to recognize that and to pray for those that are promoting the pro-life message. They might be in a different political party than you, but this is not a political matter.
That's right.
They might be in a different religion than us. What they're doing is good. I'm thinking of the Roman Catholic Church. A big emphasis for pro-life. I say, well, the Catholic. Well, you know what? When they come to get you, it won't matter what religion you are. And you say, oh, that wouldn't happen. Yeah, well, that's what at first Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in Russia. And when he began to speak out, he was sent to one of their gulags. And he lived out of it. It's a name you wouldn't recognize. But he lived and he warned. And he said, when they first came for the Jew, I didn't worry about it because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for the elderly and I didn't worry about it because I was young. And then they came for the mentally handicapped and I didn't worry about it because I have a strong mind. And he goes down the list of all that they came for in Russia. And then he said, when they came for me, there was no one left to protest. We have a responsibility before an almighty God to protect the image bearers. The pro-life ethic, it is not something that we just tack on to our theology, our teachings.
Well, the really important thing, you see, is missions. That's what God wants us to do, send money to the missionaries. Well, the really important thing to do is have teachers to teach our young people. Well, the really important thing to do is have a youth weekend to bring in the men who will stand up here and pound out the word of God. That's what we're about.
Pro-life isn't just tacked on to all of that. There won't be any of all of this that I just described if Satan has his way. And oh my God, you certainly must be aware of the direction of our country in so many of these issues. We cannot imagine, because there are so many, many Bible teaching churches of whatever degree or type, whatever stripe or manner, there are so many, they can't get rid of all the churches. And that's what they said in Germany. That's what they said in Russia. But it happened, didn't it? You see, the United States of America is not the only country that is polluted by churches and influenced and governed by Christianity. And we too can fall. And if you follow anything regarding politics, you would know that we're headed in that direction for sure. At the very foundation of biblical doctrine, the core of our worldview, is this which is close to God's heart, and that's people made in His image. And it starts with the infant in the womb.
Yes.
Father in heaven, is it possible? Oh, we know.
Our desire, our prayer, our pleading to you, Father, is that this evil would be stopped.